everyone. Welcome back to the Marketing Cloudcast,
a podcast by Salesforce where trailblazers talk all things marketing.
I'm Megan Collins.
And I'm Tina Razul, host of the Marketing Cloudcast. On the show, you'll hear from industry thought leaders from around the world on key trends and relevant insights that span today's marketing landscape.
And if you like what you hear today, go ahead and subscribe and find more episodes on marketingcloudcast.com.
Hey everyone, on today's episode, we have the wonderful Jenny Williams, who's a two-time CMO and marketing leader here in Australia. Jenny has a wealth of knowledge and shared with us how as marketers, we can build the best careers of our lives. She shares her wisdom on how she ran teams and also gives us advice on how to best work with executives. She also will share encouraging wisdom that within each and every one of us is the power that can help us achieve the impossible. Without any further ado, here's my interview with Jenny Williams.
Hi, I'm Jenny Williams. I'm two-time CMO. I've been at CMO of HCF, one of Australia's largest health funds, and CMO of Compare the Market, which is one of Australia's largest aggregators, famous for the meerkats. And I'm coming to you from Australia.
And tell us a little bit about your path and your journey to becoming a CMO, because as many of us marketers who are listening right now, that's the coveted role.
Sure.
That for a very long time within their industry, everyone strives to develop their skills to master, to craft.
Yeah.
And so throughout your career, is that a role you knew in your mind you wanted to take on, or just naturally along the way you started to develop these skill sets that prepared you to be able to take on that role?
I think it's a little bit more of the latter. Yeah, I mean, I think if you'd have asked me when I was in agency whether I thought I was going to be a CMO, I wouldn't have picked it. But what I found when I was doing the role was that the fact that I had I'd worked, for instance, in the multimedia company and done enormous amounts of video production at a really hands-on level, you know, interestingly meant when I was negotiating costings with production companies to develop TV ads, I was better informed to be able to negotiate better deals.
Yeah.
Because I had worked in digital agencies, I understood MarTech stacks and I understood, you know, how that technology needed to be put together. So I was able to be much more informed about how that might work and where the key decisions needed to be made along that way. You know, and because I had worked in organizations, you know, I ran MRM for a number of years, which was a digital and direct agency. So, you know, customer communications, the importance of data analytics, you know, how you manage loyalty programs, all those sorts of components were things, again, that I had done a lot of work with. So there are multiple different strains within a CMO's remit. And so one of the challenges within marketing is that in order to be a good CMO, I think you actually have to have good competency across a broad range of different areas, because it's actually, the job is really about how you orchestrate all of those channels and figure out which one of those channels is most important and where to allocate the funds and then how to connect those channels together and how to integrate them. And
yeah,
none of that happens if you only focus in one area.
Yeah. And so in building this knowledge and this skill set, when did you realize the CMO role is well suited for that? As marketers, I think oftentimes we're tunnel visioned on just focusing on our role, on our task for our job title.
Yep.
But how can marketers be more aware and open-minded to developing the skill set that would help them become sort of that next best version of themselves so that they can one day be a CMO as well?
Look, I think as a CMO, one of the biggest challenges is often that people within the team are siloed and tunnel vision about what they do. The best programs, because if you then flip to the other side of the customer doesn't, you know, care that you've got a different division that's doing social versus SEO versus PR versus digital. The customer is probably much more aware if those channels
are disconnected.
So within organisations, actually building teams that work together so that they actively try and understand what each other is doing not only makes the team and the product better, but also equips people better to understand how they might move across different areas.
Right.
So as people sort of move their way up the hierarchy anyway, they need to work more closely with each other. And the tunnel vision isn't productive really for any, you know, either for the client internally or for the customer who's receiving the end product.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. What do you think some of the biggest challenges are for CMOs today?
I always harp on about attribution as a challenge. I think in the digital channels, it's easier, you know, at least in, you know, single click attribution models to, you know, kind of say, well, I paid this much for the, you know, Google search term and that's what it returned. When you've got multi-touch attribution models, it starts to get more complicated. But again, if they're all digital channels, then it starts to get, you know, realistic. But brand remains a bit of an enigma. So there are a lot of different econometric models that can give you information and inform decisions, but nothing is an exact science. So it's very hard to really, and I know we'll talk about this later, but boards and executive teams want to know, you know, if we're going to spend $1 million making this ad and $5 million on media, they want to know how many sales is that going to generate.
Right.
And they're going to expect a CMO to put in a plan that generates
the
sales that pay for the ROI that pays for the ad. And all you as a CMO can do is, you know, try to figure that out. But ultimately you don't know. You know, you've got historic evidence to work by. You've got, you know, whatever attribution models you're working on to work by. But you don't know, for instance, you know, all of the different components that go into that start to vary. You know, what are your competitors doing at the time?
Right.
What's happening in the market? You know, are there any disruptors coming into that market that may change it? Is there regulatory changes that are going to impact it? Are there, you know, is there some other issue down on the product line that isn't being addressed that may be a problem? And then there is the actual execution itself. Is the creative that you're working with the most effective? Is it landing the message appropriately? Are you targeting the media appropriately? Is all the media going to get delivered in the way that you want it to? You know, so there's so many variables in that mix that boards and executive teams want exact results. They want surefire guaranteed, you know, yep, this is going to work and this is how it's going to result. So a big challenge for CMOs is working through the science of that with enough confidence to be able to make those educated guesses, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, the second is often data. So, you know, I remember 15 years ago when digital was early, you know, in its infancy in the Australian market. And the big thing we sold everybody was this idea that there was lots and lots of data and you could tell everything that everybody was doing and so forth. And that's absolutely true. But the challenge with data is that the more that you get of it, the less sense you make of it.
Right.
And also many organisations collect data and can't connect it together. Or they'll connect it together, but because they miss little bits of it, it starts to become nonsensical. Or they'll, worse still, make the wrong interpretation of those data. Data. So getting the right data, connecting it together, ensuring that the data integrity is good, it's powerful data as a marketing tool, but it requires ongoing effort.
Yeah.
And then I guess the third aspect of marketing, which is a challenge, is that the whole idea of set and forget is just, you know, it just doesn't work anymore. So you can't come up with an idea, brief an agency, you know, have some campaign idea, make it, put it out to market and move on. It just, that type of market, it has to be iterative. So you have to create agile, continually mobile workforces that are geared towards that different type of thinking, and that creates operational challenges, which,
absolutely,
you know, you're continually having to reinvent, you know, because you've then, you know, thrown into that mix, you've got, you know, staff turnover, you've got, you know, short-term things that need to be done within the business, responses to the, you know, requirements that happen as they come in. So, you know, just the operations of running a marketing team is not straightforward anymore.
And that's a good point. A lot of organizations face that challenge, and not just in the marketing department, but the speed at which businesses have to move now, mm-hmm, to attend to the needs of their buyers or their audiences is unlike anything we've ever seen, right?
Absolutely,
because
yeah,
the demand of our customers and our buyers are so high. Everyone demands that white glove experience where we're expected to know them.
Yeah.
And that's hard still for a lot of organizations.
Yeah.
So what have you found is best practice to help guide organizations down that path to ensure that they are doing the right things to best serve their customers?
I mean, I think the issue of speed challenges organizations on multiple levels. So the first is what's required is major transformation. So where you've got to put in major technology transformations, operational transformations, product transformations. Those sorts of things tend to really scare people throughout the organisation, particularly if you've got a lot of legacy staff. And so the process of change management there can be very challenging. So you really have to put a lot of effort into managing that change. And you know, communications and traditional change management practices certainly help to alleviate that. I think, though, what I've learned in the context of this, and again, it depends on the urgency that's required. You know, sometimes you just can't afford to go slowly. But incremental change that delivers results tends to create more momentum than somebody sort of coming in and saying, I'm just going to change everything and, you know, if you're not on the bus, then get out. Like that. Yes, it's a good way to shake everything up if that's what needs to happen, but it's potentially quite destructive to organisations. I think the thing that about the speed factor also, though, is it's really important that organisations become honest about how quickly they need to work, because a lot of people look at the idea of transformation, and it's a bit of a buzzword. I was having lunch with somebody the other day and we were sort of saying, you know, it's a bit like transformation, innovation, all these words, they're the buzzwords of today. And, you know, I can tell you that 15 years ago, the buzzword was integration, you know, and it's just a word. And in reality, the thing is, today we have to change, and we have to change more quickly than we used to have to change, yeah, 5 and 10 years ago. And so the speed at which we have to adapt and modify working practices, business models, operational procedures is continuing to evolve. And organisations have to create cultures that accept that. And so you tend to see startup organisations who are more easily adaptable to that, and they attract people that are more easily adaptable to that. But then, conversely, you sometimes see organisations that, you know, 10 or 12 years ago were startups, and they're now these big behemoth beasts who have large, you know, massive amounts of protocol, and they struggle with that speed and adaptability. So it's really about building that into, you know, day-to-day culture.
Yeah, that actually is a really good point. We're lucky that at Salesforce, culture is a big element to why we do what we do. But you hit on some really good points in that as a business and as an organization, it can't just be about the functions and features and hitting these data points or crossing off a checklist. It's thinking holistically about the whole entity of the business,
yeah,
about the people. I really like how you talked about, you know, making those incremental changes over time can create more momentum than just going rapid speed and trying to sprint out the gate.
Yeah.
And organizations needing to be honest versus just aspirational.
Correct.
So one of the questions that one of our audiences would like to learn more about is actually dealing with executive boards.
So your senior executive team would be my peers. And, you know, generally speaking, what's most important with them, so the first thing is they need to understand what you're doing, mm-hmm. and they need to buy into it, because when you do present it to the board, you know, the goal is always to be a, you know, sort of united executive team. And that may mean that you have to kind of figure out what is the level of everybody's marketing knowledge. So some people, you know, one of the challenges with marketing obviously is that because everybody's a consumer of marketing, some people think they know a lot about it because they've, you know, been subject to a lot of advertising over the years and they're obviously a consumer. Whereas, you know, others, and particularly when you get down into the detail of digital advertising, we use a lot of acronyms and nobody really mm-hmm. understands what anything is. So creating a base level of understanding is always an important thing, is everybody understands some of the basics. Standardizing reporting is always an important component. So there's, everybody wants to see something different. So putting a bit of effort into figuring out what is it that everybody wants to see in order to yeah. feel like they are understanding what's going on in the marketing team. That's the other complaint I've often heard from executive teams, is they know we probably spend more money than anybody else in the business, but they don't understand. It's like a big giant black hole and they don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
So providing transparency is about establishing reporting structures. And in the context of projects, it's about, you know, telling them what you plan to do and why you plan to do it and how that plans to be delivered, and then being really transparent about how that's progressing. And if it doesn't progress the way that you want it to progress, being upfront about that, what you intend to do about that, or at the very minimum, what you learned through that exercise.
Yeah.
When it comes to boards, generally speaking, their focus tends to be on, is it strategically aligned with where we want to take this business? So understanding the board's strategy is critical to how you construct whatever reporting you put to a board. And that may not be the same as the marketing strategy, or that may not be completely, you know, it has to be in alignment with where they're long-term taking the organisation. Boards also tend to have a higher profile focus on risk. Mm. So it's really important before you go into a board meeting that you've done your risk assessments on these things, because they'll ask you, you know, they will think through all the things that could potentially go wrong, you know. And normally as a CMO, one of the top corporate risks that you own is the reputational risk of the organisation. So being all over that at all points in time is important. Understanding how those numbers play out, you know, and I've certainly worked with boards who are incredibly detailed orientated, and these are guys that can take one look at a set of financial reports and, you know, see exactly where issues might lie. So putting up, you know, digital data, digital reporting data, can often lead to quite detailed conversations about where things are going. So being careful about presenting that data with integrity is critically important, you know. Right. So sometimes I've had challenges where, you know, the team pull this data together in really quick timeframes in the lead up to the submission into board books or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, just a spurious little number that ends up somewhere that was just a mistake, you know, and it was, and there's an assumption that, that, you know, like there's 3,000 numbers on this page, they're never going to notice it.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, but you can bet your bottom dollar they are going to notice it.
Yeah.
And so those sorts of, you know, being absolutely bulletproof in what you present at board level is also critically important. So, you know, there's some of those aspects that I think are important, and understanding where the board is coming from, you know, what are they trying to achieve?
Yeah.
And then the same thing is true in terms of educational capacity. They don't need to know the details of marketing, but they do need to understand what are the levers that we're looking to implement here.
Yeah.
as you're sharing your experience, what runs through my mind is I'm sure there are a lot of parallels to how we as human beings live our lives and how we manage our life in general to managing the world of our business.
Yeah.
If you can share either one or two really big aha or learning moments that you've learned being a CMO that have really transformed how you live your life or even just personally.
Look, I think treating people with integrity is really important. You know, my team and my peers, you know, I'm a big believer in business karma.
Yeah.
You know, so trying to do the right thing all the time. Focusing on win-win situations, you know, that's a basic. I guess though, from a personal perspective, and this has really evolved as I've become older, but I've focused on my work-life balance, and I also try to foster that in my team. My CEO at HCF had made a comment to the senior executive team, what was more of an instruction really, and he said, do not send an email after 5 o'clock at night to anyone in your team.
Wow. On the weekdays?
Ever.
Wow.
He said, if it's so urgent that you need to send an email after 5 o'clock at night, pick up the phone and call the person.
Interesting.
Because when you just fire off emails because you happen to be sitting up at bed at 10 o'clock at night and that's just when you're doing it, right, that may be your business and when you want to work, but you're setting an expectation on the part of the people that work for you that they have to respond. And I don't want to set up a culture that's telling everybody I expect them to be on 24/7 call. And I take that on board, you know, like, and I think when I ran agency, I was always of the view I had to be in before everybody else and out after everybody else. And that I set some sort of standard for how many hours everybody had to work. Nowadays, I actually think work-life balance and mental health improves people's function at work.
Yeah.
You know, and that if people have enough of a balance, they're less likely to get burnt out, less likely to leave, less likely to have absenteeism, more likely to be productive and happy at work. And so actually starting to look at that in a healthier way is part of what I've applied to my own life, you know, and I meditate and I actually teach meditation to my team sometimes. Those sorts of things actually really help me to function, and I like to bring that into the workplace. And then I guess the last thing that really applies to me is not to take anything personally, you know, like in when you're in business, it's just business, you know, and that's not to say what people say to you is not important. It's just to say businesses shrink and expand. You can lose a job because in an agency you can lose a job because you lose an account. Yeah. You know, it's got nothing to do with you. You know, your company could go through a merger or an acquisition and as a result you're out of a job. You know, it's not about you. Nobody, you know, and you don't take it on and you know, and then the next week you might get a job that's fantastic. And so those are the sorts of things that, you know, and I shared this at a women's talk I gave at International Women's Day. I have three rules when I look at jobs that I do. Enjoy what you do, get paid appropriately, and never report to an idiot. And as long as those three rules are in play, I'm happy.
I love that. When did you set that standard for yourself?
About 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've worked tried and true.
And if I am feeling unsatisfied in a role, I look at those three things and say, what's out of whack? Can I fix it?
Yeah.
If I can't, then I need to move on.
I love that. What would you give your younger self any advice?
Oh, look, probably just the things I just shared, you know. Yeah. Focus on your work-life balance, you know, spend time with the people you love, and don't take any of this too personally.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, probably be a little bit more focused on where your future's going through all of this, you know, I've kind of surfed the wave of new technology, and that has been the way that I've tracked my way through my career.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed that. That's been fun.
One of the last questions that I have is, what does it mean to you to be a trailblazer?
Well, I mean, I guess throughout my career, I've always tried to see where new trends in marketing are going and find opportunities to explore those trends. And sometimes that might be new technology, but sometimes that might just be a new idea for putting two organizations together or developing a product that, you know, doesn't exist. So I think being a trailblazer to me is more about going somewhere nobody's been before and having the confidence to make that work, even though you don't actually know where that's going to end up.
And any other words of advice for our audience on how they can be better versions of themselves?
Look, I think, you know, there's all of these sort of cheesy inspirational quotes I seem to end up with on social media all the time. But I do actually believe that inside of all of us is a power far greater than we usually have the confidence to explore. And I have continually found within myself that when I dig deep and try to find that, it's there. You know, I didn't know if I could be a CMO. I didn't know if I could run an agency. I didn't know I could be a mother, you know. But when we dig deep into ourselves to find something, it's there. And we shouldn't wait for life to force us to do those things. If it's just a spark of a thought, we should give it a go.
Thank you so, so much, Jenny. I've had an incredible time chatting with you, learning from your experience, and hearing you share your wisdom with all of us.
You're
so
welcome.
Thank you.
Lovely to chat to you too.
Now, if you enjoyed the show, go ahead and subscribe, be inspired, and become a trailblazer. You can check us out on marketingcloudcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thanks to our editing partners at Think Ahead Studios, Salesforce Studios, and audible.com. Talk to you soon.